Now we have the audiobook review, and this month it's The Christmas Stories by Charles Dickens. So Debbie and I are in the studio this morning, and this is our Christmas show, and it wouldn't be Christmas unless we had some Dickens.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we thought that we would look at Dickens' short stories this time. Dickens wrote an awful lot of Christmas stories, an awful lot of Christmas ghost stories, actually, but none of these were ghosty, were they? Or no, hang on, there was one.
There may have been a ghost in one, but they weren't overtly about ghosts.
No.
They weren't overtly about Christmas either, were they? They sort of touched on some themes, I think.
Yes, themes is probably the best way of explaining it. The Christmas tree, which is the first story, talks about all the decorations that you have on the tree, all the ornaments. And it was a bit listy, wasn't it? So that was a bit disappointing. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is a beginning. What have we got in store? So they're loosely done around a theme of Christmas and around sort of giving and being a nice person.
Yes. I think they've all got a very positive message. And as usual with Dickens, there's a moral tale there.
Yeah.
And the characters have to go through a certain process or a sort of experience, and they come out feeling better for them. Did you think it put you in a Christmas mood?
No. Though I think there were some decent stories in this collection.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's probably like a preamble to Christmas. It doesn't make you feel, oh, this is a very Christmas scene, very sentimental, although some of the stories are quite sentimental. Mm. I think it's something that you would dip in and out of during the Christmas period, maybe. And the fact that they're short stories, I mean, you can literally, some of them are 5 minutes long, aren't they?
So it's the sort of thing that would be nice in an old leather-bound book.
Yes. But, yeah, I enjoyed them overall. Mm. Did you?
Yes. I mean, I love Dickens. I really love Dickens. I don't think this is his best collection of stories. I would probably give it overall a 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
But there were some really good stories in there. Lots of Dickensian themes such as poverty and so on. I mean, I think my favourite one was probably the Seven Poor Travellers.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was very good.
And this is quite a long one, actually.
It's
in three parts. And the idea is that our hero is left a house in a will, isn't he? And he hasn't been there before. It's in the city of Rochester. And he goes there and discovers that it's been, there's a trust, isn't there, managed by, well, a group of trustees who meet in this house.
Mm.
And the idea is that it provides shelter for seven poor travellers.
Mm.
And our hero decides that this isn't quite enough, that they should be given more of a fuss.
Yes.
So he gets them a lovely dinner and they exchange stories. And some of these stories are great. I wish there were more. I would like to hear seven. I was expecting something a bit like the Canterbury Tales. But yeah, really lovely stories.
It's one of those real fireside moments, isn't it?
Right.
Yes, absolutely. You sit around the fireside, listen to people tell lovely anecdotes and stories, and each traveller. But you're right, it kind of stopped before it really got going.
Did it leave you wanting more?
Yeah, I thought, not all of them have spoken. And towards the end he said, and then there was a woman there and there was someone else, and what about their stories? You didn't get to hear them. So I don't know whether that was deliberate on Dickens' part or whether he just sort of ran out of time or steam. And I think if you're such a prolific writer as he is, maybe that happens, you know, maybe he had other projects on. Let's take a break here and listen to an excerpt from The Seven Poor Travellers.
I introduced myself to my guests by shaking hands all round and giving them a hearty welcome. I found the party to be thus composed. Firstly, myself. Secondly, a very decent man indeed, with his right arm in a sling, who had a certain clean, agreeable smell of wood about him, from which I judged him to have something to do with shipbuilding. Thirdly, a little sailor boy, a mere child, with a profusion of rich dark brown hair and deep womanly-looking eyes. Fourthly, a shabby, genteel personage in a threadbare black suit, and apparently in very bad circumstances, with a dry, suspicious look. The absent buttons on his waistcoat eked out with red tape, and a bundle of extraordinary tattered papers sticking out of an inner breast pocket. Fifthly, a foreigner by birth, but an Englishman in speech, who carried his pipe in the band of his hat, and lost no time in telling me, in an easy, simple, engaging way, that he was a watchmaker from Geneva and travelled all about the continent, mostly on foot, working as a journeyman and seeing new countries, possibly, I thought, also smuggling a watch or so, now and then. Sixthly, a little widow who had been very pretty and was still very young, but whose beauty had been wrecked in some great misfortune, and whose manner was remarkably timid, scared, and solitary. Seventhly, and lastly, a traveller of a kind familiar to my boyhood, but now almost obsolete. A book peddler who had a quantity of pamphlets and numbers with him.
But yeah, I liked that one. There were some real gems in there, I thought. But then there were some that I kind of was hoping, I hope this isn't too long, which isn't very kind. So the story I really like is called The Boot. It's a story of 2 8-year-olds who essentially fall in love. And it's very, very sweet, innocent love. They hold hands in the garden, they walk around. And the young lad decides that they're going to elope to Gretna Green. And obviously this is not taken seriously by the adults, but in fact they do, and they end up in an inn. And fortunately, an old gardener who used to work in the family home recognises them and keeps them there, and eventually their parents turn up. But it's very, very sweet, and the descriptions of the children are so delightful.
Yes, they
and
really
their
are.
Love, and it's a completely innocent, sweet love, and I really enjoyed that one. Let's take a pause here for an excerpt from that short story.
Boots could assure me that it was better than a picture, and equal to a play, to see them babies with their long, bright, curling hair, their sparkling eyes and their beautiful light tread, a-rambling about the garden, deep in love. Boots was of opinion that the birds believed they was birds and kept up with them, singing to please them. Sometimes they would creep under the tulip tree and would sit there with their arms round one another's necks, and their soft cheeks touching, a reading about the prince and the dragon, and the good and bad enchanters, and the king's fair daughter. Sometimes he would hear them planning about having a house in a forest, keeping bees and a cow, and living entirely on milk and honey. Once he came upon them by the pond, and heard Master Harry say, "Adorable Nora, kiss me and say you love me to distraction, or I'll jump in head foremost." And Boots made no question he would have done it if she hadn't complied. On the whole, Boots said it had a tendency to make him feel as if he was in love with himself. Only he didn't exactly know who with.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, as you say, It's a bit, excuse the pun, but it's a bit of a stocking filler, isn't it?
It is. It is.
It's one of those things that you wouldn't necessarily want to have as your main present, but it's quite nice as something that you can dip in and out of and just sort of get in the Christmas mood a little bit.
It would be interesting to know, wouldn't it, how this was originally published, and it was probably in a magazine.
Yes.
I expect, yes. You know, a story per week in the run-up to Christmas,
yes.
I would imagine. Or maybe because he wrote so many Christmas stories, this is a collection that's come about over a number of years.
Yeah, more than likely, I'd have thought. And obviously it's been put together by publishers now, but you say originally it would have come out maybe in a weekly or a monthly magazine. And the standalone pieces, I'm sure they were well received and people enjoyed them.
Mm.
As a collection, I think it could have been a bit better edited, maybe.
I think so.
Yeah.
The one I was disappointed in, Marley, was the one that was called What Christmas Is As We Grow Older. Because, goodness me, it changes, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
From when you're a child and it's so exciting. And then you're a teenager and it's all a bit underwhelming. Then when you're a young person, it's just nice to get drunk with your friends and family, isn't it? Then when you become a parent, it's exciting again.
It is.
And then when you're an older parent, it's, if we're honest, a bit of a chore.
It's true.
I lost focus a little with some of these, but I do remember feeling disappointed with that one.
I was disappointed with that one as well. I thought it was going to turn into a ghost story. You didn't quite get there for some reason. I don't know. And I got slightly lost in the end of it. Yeah, it wasn't a great start. As you say, the Christmas tree and what Christmas is as we grow older were a little bit disappointing. And I wouldn't necessarily have put those two stories at the beginning of the book.
No, I'd have started with The Poor Relation.
Yeah.
Which was super, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a wonderful twist at the end of that, which we won't give away.
No.
But that's definitely one worth listening to. And a lovely twist and very Dickensian and has a real Christmas feel to it. Let's just pause here to listen to an excerpt from The Poor Relation's story.
It is supposed, unless I mistake, the assembled members of our family will correct me if I do, which is very likely. Here the poor relation looked mildly about him for contradiction, that I am nobody's enemy but my own, that I never met with any particular success in anything, that I failed in business because I was unbusinesslike and credulous in not being prepared for the interested designs of my partner, that I failed in love because I was ridiculously trustful in thinking it impossible that Christiana could deceive me, that I failed in my expectations from Uncle Chill on account of not being as sharp as he could have wished in worldly matters, that through life I have been rather put upon and disappointed in a general way, that I am at present a bachelor of between 59 and 60 years of age, living on a limited income in the form of a quarterly allowance, to which I see that John, our esteemed host, wishes me to make no further allusion.
So which was your favourite overall? Was it that one, The Poor Relation?
Or... I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I had to choose one, it would be The Poor Relation as a typically Dickensian story.
Yeah, that was my favourite as well. Second favourite being The Seven Poor Travellers. But as I said, I did feel a little bit let down when it ended rather abruptly.
Would you recommend it?
I would certainly recommend some of the stories. I probably wouldn't as a collection in itself, to be honest.
No.
But yes, I would definitely recommend The Poor Relation story, The Seven Poor Travellers, and probably The Holly Tree.
Yeah, okay. I absolutely concur. I think that's right. So rather than our three reasons, there's three stories that we recommend from this collection.
I mean, I think it's a nice thing to listen to at Christmas when maybe we don't have as much time because we're running from one social engagement to the other. So just to be able to listen to a short story is a nice thing to do, isn't it?
That's a really good point, because as you say, you don't have time at Christmas. And if you've got a spare 10 minutes or you're travelling somewhere, or
yes, in the car.
In the car.
Yes.
Or if you're, you know, taking the dog out for a walk or just preparing some mince pies. It's nice just to listen to a short story, get you in a Christmassy mood. And yeah, I think for that reason, yeah, I think it's definitely one to get and one to have in the background.
I mean, I often listen to short ghost stories at Christmas, but actually a lot of those aren't to do with Christmas as such. There's just this habit lots of people have developed of having a ghost story for Christmas,
yes,
isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. So listeners, if you fancy this one, it's definitely worth downloading. And as usual, Caliber will supply this to you. There are several short stories in the collection, and some of them are brilliant, some not so. So, yes, we recommend that you get it anyway.
It's very well read. It's Simon Vance, I think, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes. Great. Thank you very much, Debbie.
Thank you.
And also, I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas.
And I wish you the same and a Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year. I will see you in 2026.
Yes, how strange.
I know. Thank you.
Thank you.